This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Monday, June 22nd, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Straits status unclear as talks commence. TFI urges patience in reopening supply chains and rural hospital concerns. U.S. talks to end the war with Iran advanced over the weekend, even as uncertainty hung over the status of trade flows through the Strait of Hormuz. The Iranian military late Saturday said the strait had been officially closed, that due to ongoing attacks against Lebanon by Israel. Nevertheless, Vice President J.D. Vance told reporters yesterday that, quote, great progress had been made so far in talks in Switzerland with Iranian officials. Delegations from Pakistan and Qatar are mediating the negotiations at a Swiss resort near Lake Lucerne. The expected full reopening of the strait has led to falling prices for key commodities, including petroleum oil and fertilizer. The U.S. Central Command said commercial ship traffic had increased on Saturday through the critical Mideast trade route, with 55 merchant vessels moving heavy cargo loads, including more than 17 million barrels of oil to global markets. Iran is insisting that all hostilities cease, including any attacks by Israel on Lebanon. Iran will stop any negotiation if the Israeli regime does not withdraw from Lebanon. That from the Revolutionary Guards-backed TASNIM new agency yesterday. Even in the best-case scenario for resuming key cargoes through the Strait of Hormuz, it will take time for disrupted energy and fertilizer markets to recover, according to Corey Rosenbusch. He's president and CEO of the Fertilizer Institute. While the strait is open or reopening, it really is just an early step, Rosenbusch said with a news briefing on Friday. Supply chains won't automatically just be flipped back on like a switch, restoring some of these trade flows and repositioning supply chains will take some time. Rosenbusch stressed three points based on talks with the industry and farmers. The current planting season largely finished in the Northern Hemisphere, including the U.S. Even with the strait closed, some fertilizer in the last few weeks has dropped to pre-war values. TFI estimates 3 to 4 million tons of urea, key nitrogen fertilizer, are stuck behind the strait. It's not clear how much the urea has already been sold. You can't necessarily assume that this is going to be a new supply coming into the market, especially with some of the dependence of India from that region, Rosenbusch said. The extent of damage to facilities in the region isn't known. It could take months for some plants to come back online, especially for oil and natural gas. That's important because sulfur, a key raw material for phosphate fertilizer, is a major byproduct of oil refineries. The lack of access to sulfur has caused phosphate plants around the world to curb production. Roughly 40% of the world's traded export urea passes through the Strait of Hormuz at about half of sulfur supplies, according to TFI. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. During June Dairy Month, it's worth pausing between bites to appreciate the quiet powerhouse that turns Midwestern milk into mortgages paid, schools funded, and small towns kept whole. Cheese manufacturing has become one of the most important economic engines across the upper Midwest dairy sector and a cornerstone of the broader U.S. dairy economy. Roughly 90% of milk produced within the upper Midwest federal milk marketing order is processed into cheese, which is to say, in our corner of the country, milk grows up and gets a job. That's why Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative is committed to advancing policies that strengthen American farms, sustain cheese production, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders. Visit EdgeDairy.com to learn more about the power of cheese. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Four senators, three Democrats, and a Republican, they're worried that the Rural Health Transformation Program's current structure may put rural hospitals with limited staffing and resources at a disadvantage. In a letter to Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Administrator Mehmet Oz, the lawmakers wrote that, quote, larger systems and organizations often have substantially greater administrative capacity and resources to compete for and manage grant funding, while smaller rural providers may lack the staffing, infrastructure, or technical support necessary to fully participate. They urge the agency to lift a cap on infrastructure and capital improvements for rural facilities and clarify whether providers can receive direct payments. The lawmakers include Senator Susan Collins of Maine, Michael Bennett and John Hickenlooper of Colorado, and Alex Padilla of California. Keep in mind, the $50 billion Rural Health Transformation Program was created by Republican lawmakers as partial compensation for Medicaid cuts to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. A bill requiring the Federal Communications Commission to reevaluate how it creates its broadband map has passed the Senate. The Map for Broadband Funding Act would require the FCC to coordinate with the National Telecommunications and Information Administration on a reasonable and timely basis when collecting data for its broadband funding map, which has helped to shape where federal broadband funding goes. The bill would also require the commission to seek public comment on the map's functionality, transparency, and completeness. It now heads to the House. FCC's broadband maps have played a major role in shaping NTIA's decisions for how to divvy up $42.45 billion in broadband funding to states through the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program. However, states and researchers have warned of glaring flaws in the FCC's past maps, though the agency has sought to improve these in recent years through public challenge process. As the Senate goes into its last five working days in Washington before a two-week recess, the Senate Agriculture Committee expected to unveil draft farm bill legislation by Friday. Ahead of the highly anticipated farm legislation, bipartisan members of the Ag Committee introduced a measure to give food banks more access to fresh produce. A bill from Senators Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi and Adam Schiff of California seek to get nutritious food to families while also supporting growers of specialty crop like fruits and vegetables. The bill comes as lawmakers are still trying to figure out how to get greater economic relief to farmers, including specialty crop producers. Senate Ag Committee members last week also unveiled legislation to bolster resilience in U.S. food supply chains and expand markets as farmers, quote, face enormous uncertainty for their ability to grow and sell products and as input costs continue to rise. That bill is backed by Schiff, Hyde-Smith, Senator Amy Klobuchar, the top Democrat on the committee, and Senator Jim Justice of West Virginia. The U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement should stay that way, the head of the U.S. Dairy Export Council says on this week's AgriPulse Open Mic podcast. I'd hate personally to see it unravel and be broken into pieces, USDEC President and CEO Krista Harden says in an interview. I hope it doesn't come to that. In the USMCA review, Harden says Canada has to be held to previous promises to open up its markets to U.S. dairy products. She says, quote, how the Canadian government administers their tariff rate quota seems to almost intentionally be designed to limit our access. So we really have to make sure we work on that very closely, she says. European Union, she adds, quote, is certainly a very prominent and worthy competitor. our aggravation, and I'm using a very nice word for this discussion with the EU, is that they continue to want to artificially limit our use of names and common food names for certain types of cheeses like Parmesan and feta. I think they think they own those and control those and don't want us to be able to use them. So they use that as a non-tariff barrier in many ways to try in markets across the globe. AgriPulse Open Mic is available now at agripulse.com. Here's today's final word. Shocks come quickly and recovery comes slow. And unfortunately, I think that's what we're going to see in fertilizer markets as well. That the Fertilizer Institute senior economist Veronica Nye on the outlook for global crop nutrient markets amid expectations of a full reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. Well, that's Daybreak for this Monday, June 22nd, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit agripulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Allen.